fees and too lengthy when they go out. And I just wanted a little bit of information for the leadership of the board to hear what the practices are, et cetera, and maybe ask some questions. It certainly is not that I have a problem with anything. I just want to know what the process is and make sure we're all on the same page on how it works. So with that, if you'd like to give us maybe an overview.
I will. I have made out some packets. I have a lot of information here if you want to pass them around. I had a PowerPoint planned, and I cannot get ClipShare to work, which is probably my own technical
I can relate.
But
it will work out there, too.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about a little bit was the difference between an RFP and a bid. And people tend to use those terms interchangeably, and they really aren't the same competitive process.
Thank you.
Our processes are governed by the local county purchasing ordinance. They're governed by state law, federal law, and any grant requirements
My fault. Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you.
So when we decide what type of a procurement process that we want to do, we first look to see if we can buy from an already established contract that might be available to us. We participate in cooperative purchasing agreements with other municipalities. I'm very active in the value group that's part of Southeastern Wisconsin, where municipalities bundle our needs together and with them out for bid or for RFP. We also buy on the open market if it's under the bid threshold. And if we can't satisfy ourselves or the process with that, then we do our own competitive procurement process. There are many different types of competitive procurement processes that we do. There's small purchases, there's emergency purchases, there's sole source contracts, and then there's the competitive bid process and the competitive RFP process. And those are the two most lengthy types of processes that there are.
So on the competitive RFP processes, is that just as regards to purchasing, or could that be RFPs for other things? Contracts, I read in here for public works. I mean, do you handle the RFPs for public works or not?
RFPs are not allowed for public work. When we do public work, we are doing a competitive bid. That's by state statute.
Okay.
The difference between an RFP and a competitive bid process is a bid is awarded, we develop a specification, and the bid is awarded to the low responsive and responsible bidder, and that's it. There's no negotiation, there's no discussing it with the vendor after the fact and trying to get them to add things or take things away. The bid is what it is, and you award to the low responsive and responsible bidder. With an RFP, there's various evaluation criteria used, price being one of them, but other, you can name pretty much what your evaluation criteria is. There is a team of people who evaluate the proposals. They assign weighted scores to each of the evaluation factors, and then the highest ranked proposer is who we offer a contract to. We have the ability to negotiate that contract with them. We can add things, we can take things away. The evaluation of a proposal is much more subjective than a competitive bid. But by state statute, we cannot do an RFP for a public work. It has to be a competitive bid awarded to the low responsive and responsible bidder. So that's a big difference between those two. I think that the RFP process was what I was originally asked to talk about, but I think what you really meant was both of those processes.
Well, yeah, the whole information of how they work together and how we get to where we need to be. So, yes, that's...
Okay. So, with an invitation for bid, you have a well-defined set of specifications. It's generally used to buy goods or equipment or construction. It's statutorily required for public work. The county threshold for bids is $10,000 indexed annually for inflation. So, this year, it's at $13,707 and change is our bid threshold. It's indexed annually for inflation based on the CPI. The state statute threshold for public work is $25,000. So any public work that exceeds $25,000 has to go through a competitive bid process. We can't piggyback off of somebody else's bid. We have to do our own process. So $25,000 isn't a lot of money in construction these days. So when you talk about a small project and a large bid document, you're right, it is a big bid document. But the majority of the items that are in that bid document are required by state statute. I'm not exactly sure what some of the complaints might be, other than possibly determining the vendor responsibility. That's the one complaint that I've heard about. People don't like filling out the vendor responsibility. We also must advertise a bid in the paper, the local paper. We also advertise it in the Daily Reporter. We also sometimes go to other papers if we think it's necessary. We want to draw from a larger vendor pool. For example, when we did the courthouse project, we advertised in Milwaukee and Illinois in a couple of different areas. When the Daily Reporter picks it up out of Madison, they send it out to all the different bid services. We always put it on our website. And a lot of vendors are attached to our website, so they get email notification when the bids go out. The bids are sent to us on a specific day or by a specific day, by a specific time. They're in a sealed container. We don't open bids early. We have to keep them sealed until the exact day that they are due at 3 p.m. or whatever time we designated in the bid document. We don't open them early. We don't share the prices with anybody else. And then, like I said, the award is made to the low responsive and responsible bidder, and no negotiations are allowed. With an RFP, again, it's not allowed for public work. We use them when the requirements aren't clearly identified, if there's multiple ways to solve a problem, and vendors can come in and discuss their various ways that they can solve a problem. It works well for services, such as our auditors. We did an RFP last year, the year before, to get a new audit company. I think you were all aware of that. That worked out really well for us. It's generally not used to buy a piece of equipment. It's because you can use this technical specification for a piece of equipment, or you can't really do that for a service. And again, it's based on multiple evaluation criteria with multiple people making a decision. It's a joint decision between a group of people, not based strictly on the lowest price. Again, those response documents are submitted in a sealed container. We don't open them early. We don't share them with other vendors beforehand. We may or may not have a public opening for those, as with a bid that is a very public opening. Generally, the contractors show up and they all see everybody's bid prices, so they all know what each other is bidding. The evaluations of an RFP are based on a set of clearly defined criteria, including price generally, but price isn't always even the highest weighted piece of the evaluation. We're looking for other things to evaluate on. It is much more subjective than a bid because you have a lot of people that are looking at the proposal, a lot of different opinions on what how they should weight them. So it is much more subjective. We do allow the proposers to submit a best and final offer if the committee thinks that we can get a better price from them. We have a best and final offer process where they can submit a new proposal to us, price proposal, at the end. That is not allowed in a bid. A bid, you get one shot to give your best price on a bid, and that's it. Whereas with a proposal, you have an opportunity to come back with a better price. Negotiations are allowed, and again, it's awarded to the highest point proposal. Kenosha County's RFP process is based on the state of Wisconsin's. I'm sure you all remember a few years back when they had a huge issue with their Travelgate RFP that they did, and poor Georgia Thompson ended up in federal prison over it. She was a procurement agent for the state, and she was accused of trying to guide an RFP into to an uncertain vendor that people felt had contributed to Governor Doyle's campaign. So she ended up in prison over it. She was exonerated in the end. But the big part of that was, it showed some holes in the RFP process that the state had written, that they did not have a good documented RFP process. So they went through and they revamped their process, and the process that I wrote for our RFPs is based on that. We've tweaked it a little bit for our needs, but it is based on that, and the Corporation Counsel's Office did a review of that process when Frank Open Testing was here, and had them agree with what I was doing. The both of the RFP and the bid process, we have to come up with these carefully written documents because these become part of our contract. So you want to make sure that all of our terms and conditions are in there, and I understand that there is a lot of legalese in there, and some of these contractors, especially the smaller ones, don't necessarily understand that. They don't understand all of the legalese. But it is part of our final contract, and we have to be able to protect the county with that, and that is a big part of our process, is the ability to protect the county. It isn't just getting the lowest price, but it's protecting us as our government, and it's also protecting the contractor so that we're getting what we think we should be getting from them. The bid document includes all the statutory requirements. It includes grant requirements, state law, federal law, everything that we are subject to is included in that document. So I don't know if you have any questions for me or what more you want to look at out of this.
Did we do an RFP for the which bank was going to handle our gate when it finally got put in 30 years later?
I was not involved in that.
Okay.
So I don't know what.
Did we do an RFP? Bernie, did we do an RFP for that to figure out who would handle that from a bank standpoint? Didn't I hear that at one of your reports, Supervisor Alverman, that we were seeing which bank was going to...
I wasn't involved in that.
The state was doing that.
The state was involved.
Okay,
so they
okay.
Were,
yeah. Okay.
The state has a banking RFP.
Okay, okay.
That's where we have our P-card program through.
Okay.
The state's banking RFP.
That was the state.
Okay. It's finally up, by the way.
It's done.
Did you see that? Yeah, I drove by it yesterday, just for the record. Yeah. I guess there wasn't really complaints is not why I wanted to have this, but you know, I've heard on the RFPs, who creates the RFPs? I mean, makes it. I know at one point in your presentation just now, you said the vendor sometimes doesn't like to go through all the hoops. And I've heard of RFPs being very concise and smaller and to the point, and some being a lot larger. And the larger ones may have to do with the state and other things. I'm not sure. But who creates the RFPs, and what's the thought process behind those?
I have developed a template that we use that has our basic language that we require for all of our contracts, for all of our bids and our RFPs. So I have a template for bids, I have a template for RFPs. Bernie's office has worked with me on that and on the language. So that's what our base template. We work on a scope of work that goes into that or a technical specification that goes into the bid. So there are, while it's a template, it's designed to be customized for each different procurement.
Usually Carol does the lion's share of the work, and the department that the work is being done for tells her what kind of specifications they want for that particular work, because they have more experience and they have more know-how in their field. Like IT might have some borrowed specifications that they feel is important for a certain computer or a certain security system or something like that, whereas the treasurer would have certain aspects she wants from a bank. You know, and the treasurer does go out for RFP every 5 years or so for banking services for the county, and she knows what she wants, but then they work with Carol to fit it into the form.
And occasionally we hire experts to come in and write scopes of work or technical specifications from us. It's of course like the courthouse project. They used our basic template for our legalese, but then they wrote the technical specification for it.
Which makes sense, because they know what they want.
Right.
And how it needs to be done.
Right.
I get that.
The sample bid that I put in there was for the Kemper Roof project that's ongoing right now. I did not include all of the drawings in there because it would have been very thick, because there's a lot of drawings that go with putting that fancy, that big roof on over there.
Another kind of stupid question, but once you open the RFPs, is negotiating, I mean, when are they made public record?
Technically, anything that we get once we open it is a public record.
Then how do you negotiate afterwards?
Well, that's the problem with an RFP. We discourage anybody from wanting to do an open records request on an RFP by indicating in our procedures that we don't make anything public until after an award is made. It's pretty much impossible to negotiate a contract with somebody if they all know what the other guy has proposed. I haven't really had a big issue with anybody coming in and asking for copies of documents during the evaluation process, but it's bound to happen at some point. I know it's happened to other municipalities.
Yeah, I would think at that point you have to close it down. I mean, you can't negotiate with somebody when they know what the other bids are. I mean, that's really kind of ridiculous.
Makes it more difficult.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very thorough, and I thank you very much. Any other questions from the committee?
There's a lot of paperwork involved in a bid, especially a public work bid that is required by statute, and I know that some of the vendors have complained about that before, and part of it is the... you know, they have to have a drug-free workplace program in place. They have to sign off on that. There's a lot of different documents in there that they have to sign off on before they can submit a bid. And some of it is the bid process, but before they submit it. But that's all by state statute, and I have no control over that.
Bernie?
Yeah, just from our point of view, we get involved in the bids in a couple of different ways. In general, we help design a standard contract for both Carol's shop and the human services shop. And the benefit is we put a lot of protections in there for the county. What happens if they don't deliver on time? What are our rights to terminate? We like to have a short time to terminate in case things go bad without a lawsuit, so we say without cost. If we use, and we require them to hold us harmless and they have to have insurance and things like that, if we use our form, we know we're protected. If you don't have a form for them, they will submit you a contract, a bid kind of woven into a shorter contract. The contract terms will be all favorable to the contractor, not to the county. And sometimes different departments, like the sheriff's department or other departments that cut their own contracts, will be faced, you know, defending in negotiations or claims these contracts that are written in their favor and not our favor. So that's why our bids, our RFPs, I mean, are a little longer, because they have our standard contract on the bottom. When they submit the price, it's with that contract in mind. And if they have to buy insurance, or if they have to make sure they get this done within the time frame that's set forth, they'll build that into the price. But it's there, and it's solid to defend us, you know, if there's problems down the road. Contracts, they told you the quality of the contract's always tested when there's a problem, not when things go smoothly. The other thing is, when the county board passed this contract, this ordinance about the contracting policy and required the RFPs and the bids and everything, they did it, I think, to protect the integrity of Kenosha County. The purpose of having these standard approaches to contracts is to avoid insider influence, criminal acts, things that can happen when you're dealing with money and awarding of contracts. We do it fairly cleanly. I think we have a good reputation amongst the community and the state in terms of, with one famous exception, of doing a clean contract procedures. Now, most governments in Wisconsin, because of the state statutes, do the very same thing we do on public work projects. It's required by state statute. So everybody has an architect. The architects put out bid specs, and a lot of the bid specs are standard things like how to make a door and all that stuff. And they're really thick, but the contractors are used to that. Pretty much everybody does it the same. People don't complain about that so much. The other part, we're a little stricter on RFPs than maybe some communities are, but then again, we stayed out of trouble. So that's my two cents.
Okay. Okay, seeing no other comments from the committee, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Supervisor Brunig, resolution to honor Dr. Eunice Byer.
And I defer to Supervisor Coleman.
Motion to table.
Okay.
And the reasoning behind it is there's a couple clauses in here I don't like. It's not well written. It's not strong. We should table it.
Okay. There's been a motion to table. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, that resolution is tabled. Okay, resolution one, referred to committee, RE utility ratepayers paying for the costs associated with relocating underground utilities for streetcar projects. Supervisor
Chair,
Rose.
I think one of my concerns here is whether this is all factually correct. And before I take a position, or before I think the board ought to take a position, I would like to have something in writing from utility company, Milwaukee, or somebody that tells me these facts here are correct. I'm not sure they are. I was talking with somebody today about it who disputed some of the facts here, saying that these costs are not going to be passed along to either Milwaukee or Kenosha. I'd hate to see us pass a resolution or defeat a resolution when our facts aren't correct. I mean, this is not something that, as I see it, is, you know, imminently necessary right this minute. But at least that's my position on it, that I think we ought to just table it until we... I'm surprised that she is not, Supervisor Decker is not here. But I would like to see something in writing from state legislator or somebody that says these are the correct facts.
Okay. Supervisor Frederick.
A few things on the resolution. Number one, this was put in the passed by Joint Finance last week, 12 to 4 on Thursday, basically asking Milwaukee to pick up the utility costs for the streetcar project. So it's already a part of the state budget. Number two, the $70 million that's mentioned is right now in litigation between the utility company and the city of Milwaukee. So that $70 million is being negotiated back and forth. In fact, the reason it was put in the budget is the Public Service Commission, which is the ruling body for all this, isn't even going to look at this until July. So the numbers on this is skewed before it's even figured out what it's going to be. So honestly, the whole resolution right now is moot, because the thing was about the utility costs being paid for by the city of Milwaukee, and the state's already taken care of that before we even acted upon it. So to be even tabling it right now doesn't mean anything at all.
Well, it does mean something, but...
Well, I mean, it's already been enacted upon.
Anything else?
I'm trying to do this because I don't have the resolution in front of me. Basically, as everybody... I mean, Supervisor Altman works with this all the time, because the roads and all this, that's normal that the utilities do this. To me, this is opening up a can of worms saying, Kenosha County, oh, we're getting in Milwaukee's business, going, but this is standard practice, because when we do roads here and they have to move the utility costs, Milwaukee ends up paying anyways. Isn't that because We Energies is the one that has to do it, not the cost of the taxpayers.
The utilities pay.
Right.
Correct. What the argument is, and again, I thank Jesus every day I never joined a political party, the argument here is to punish Tom Barrett. And, I mean, it's so thinly veiled that it's ridiculous. And the Democrats do it also. you know, this is just jumping into someone else's business. When Kenosha County does a project, yes, we negotiate with the utilities. If you remember, maybe it was a month ago, we talked about giving an easement to the gas company on Highway F near our new KD Park.
Yep.
We wrote into that, fine with us, but you're paying for any relocation of that line because we plan on redoing Highway F in the next 6 years. And so that was in our agreement. So this is probably the negotiations Milwaukee's doing, you know, with the utility companies. But the utility companies are, they are responsible for what's under your streets, and they are responsible for the moving. And if you remember correctly, last week, Gary Simpson, our highway commissioner, passed on a lot of that information. It was available on, at least on my notes. And so I agree with Supervisor Rose, and I think that this is really sticking our nose into something which we're always asked to do on these silly advisory resolutions to the state. And I think they're, especially this one, is so politically motivated that if anybody can't see through that, they got a problem.
Okay, so the options are a motion to table or just defeat, so on.
Yeah, I got a question. I just don't really understand it. You know what I mean? The ins and outs of it, I agree with Supervisor Rose. I can read it and understand what it is, but we don't really get what's going on. I mean, in the news, it's back and forth. But I'm in favor of tabling it also.
I don't have a problem with tabling it. I just don't understand it. There's a difference between having the utilities bury the lines or moving the lines when it's an actual roadway. This looks like they're talking about the streetcars. Is that like the trolley that we have down here? Because I don't think that Milwaukee should be paying for anything that we do for our trolley down here, because that's our own little mess. But if they're going to do a trolley up there, I don't think that Kenosha County should have to pay for that. If they want to put in a trolley or a streetcar up there, then they should have to deal with that.
Yes, sir.
It's different if you're working with an actual roadway where the cars are going to be running constantly.
It's not clear yet.
Well, what's, yeah.
Who would be paying?
Sure.
When
right.
we do a project, either they relocate or we negotiate, or Kenosha County pays.
Right.
What this is stating is that the whole state's going to pay for this.
Right.
And which is possibly untrue and possibly true.
Yeah.
You know, when they're still, the aldermen are still fighting as to whether it is $70 million or if it's $22 million, so it's...
So is it a
trolley
car or is it a
street car? Streetcar. Kind of like what we got
electric.
Here, but it's electric. It's a little more. It's like Portland. The one they got in Portland, they kind of mirrored off of that.
It's more than one.
Correct. Yeah. Like a long bus, but on rails. Yeah. I mean, not like what we got. Ours are more antique-ish, yeah. Old school type. This is pretty modern.
Modern. Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Albert.
So I don't want to get into policy leads on this, but it seems we might have to. It appears, I know some of you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, that it's really more a war ignited between two different public entities. Everybody in pretty much Southeast Wisconsin and some other areas who's part of Wien Energy, you know, the utility companies factor in, most of the time, we do public works projects like this, roads, rails, etc., as part of their business model, they will have to move things and shift things. If not, we negotiate. That's part of what we're already paying, those of us who are part of with We Energies. That's one deal. The other half of it is public side. Cities, counties, towns, villages, what we decide to do with our transportation systems. So the rate increase would still have to be approved by the Public Service Commission, which is a public body. So to a certain degree, that's a separate issue. So anytime one of us has some sort of transportation project, this ends up being a factor. But it doesn't necessarily change our rates. We're all part of Wien Energies to a certain degree. We're all already paying. Just as if they decided they wanted a new power plant, we'd be paying for that too.
Supervisor.
I agree with Supervisor Elverman. I don't really want to get involved with Milwaukee politics and all that. That's their thing there. They have elected officials there to vote things up or down. and their policies there. I don't want to get really involved with that. I'm more in favor of just defeating as it is presented. If it comes back in a different form, maybe I'll vote it up. But as it is right now, I'd rather just defeat it and move on. Thank you.
I think at this point, we'll get some direction from Bernie. I think whether we vote it up or down, we'll be debating it on the board floor. But if we table it, then we don't have to bring it back in a certain amount of time. Why don't you clarify?
You can table this to a date certain, or you can table this to indefinitely, or you could vote on it and bring the matter back to the board floor with your positive or negative vote. And there is, you did ask if there is a time limit to bring it back. There is a time limit. I forget if it's 60 or 90 days. There is a time limit about things referred to a committee that's supposed to be brought back. Over the years, I think it's sort of observed in the breach rather than in the following of that sometimes followed and sometimes not. If it's tabled, sometimes it stays tabled until the session's over.
Supervisor Rose.
I'll move to table indefinitely.
It's been moved to table it indefinitely. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Alderman. All those in favor of tabling indefinitely?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That resolution is tabled indefinitely. A report on your budget, Bernie.
Yes, we have this update, which is mostly good through April of 2013, but with the asterisk numbers, good through March of 2013. And we're very much in sync with the prorated amount we should have spent as of that time, except for a couple of things. Workers' compensation, which is paid early in the year as a lump sum for the whole year. And we're a little high on books and manuals, but I expect that to even out as the year goes along. It's just that I think sometimes they send us all these renewals early in the year. The salaries and everything else are pretty close.
What's public liability, Bernie?
Where is that? Hold down.
Yeah. It's the one we're already fully...
Is that our share of insurance?
Yep. Sounds like it.
Depending on your claim rate, you have to pay a share of the county's liability insurance. And we have only a few people, and it's not like the jail where we have prisoners and we file claims all the time. So we have a very small, we do drive, so we have to drive here and there, so we do have to pay some of the, like, auto liability insurance. So that's what that's about. And they split it up based on claim rate for the whole county. We have small claim rate, so we play just a little bit.
Okay, is there a motion to receive and file that report?
I'll make the motion.
Moved second. By Supervisor Kamicki, seconded by Supervisor Bruder. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Any committee chairs want to talk about things that are going on in their committees? Supervisor Alvin.
There's a few things. Hit a couple of the major ones. We've had some acquisitions, or not acquisitions, but we're going to be bringing a couple more here to the county board. You remember the Highway W relocation that we did a couple years early here because it just was too hot to pass up. And that was from Mr. Sisman driving by and seeing a for sale sign on a property that was $300,000 appraised, and we made a purchase of a bid, anyway, of $82,000. That's what they were asking. So we've had a couple others come up. And Mr. Vash, through one of his business acquaintances and professional acquaintances, was speaking to the people that, or the woman that owns the building next door. We've got a couple things.
Next door to Brookside, you're talking about?
Next door to here.
Here.
Oh, here.
Right where we're sitting. The attorney's office next door.
Gotcha.
Okay, so she's planning on retiring. And Bernie had mentioned to her at one point, if you ever think about this, you know, let's talk. So there's a major street project going on by the city. This is what ties into like three different things, here and here. We also just did RFPs for what we do with this building, similar to what we did with the courthouse. This building needs a lot of work. So we've gotten some bids on waterproofing that needs to be done. This place floods down below. There's tuck pointing, and I won't get into that tonight because we don't have all of that information, but we're talking a couple million dollars. The waterproofing is substantial as far as the cost. So that we broke it into two different phases. One is this year when the city cuts these two streets, we can save substantial amounts of money by doing that waterproofing at that time. The building next door, if we do the work and the necessary waterproofing on this building in the next 2 years, county executive's going to put in the budget for 2014, we would have to relocate a garage next door, pay for parking next door, because that driveway would be gone. You know, you're digging and waterproofing, you're going 10 feet down. And, so Bernie had a new conversation with the attorney that owns it. We may be able to reach some type of agreement to purchase that property at, again, what I think is a very good value. Then we would own this, that, and we own the unemployment building. So we open up parking, we open, you know, things for the future. So these are some major things that Bernie can probably tell you more once I'm done rambling about it. But the other acquisition, major, would be the property that someone mentioned next to Brookside. There's a woman that has a duplex whose husband passed away, son passed away.
Sister
passed away. And we're looking at, again, a very reduced cost for that piece of property. We can open up for parking and different things. And I believe the offer that we're making on that is that she would... while she's sorting out all the details of all the things that have happened in her life recently, she's 85 years old, she can stay there for a year. We don't need it right now. But we're trying to tie that up also. So actually, in facilities, it's those acquisitions that are, I believe, and the majority of our committee, that's why we're bringing them to the county board, are going to save us, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars down the line. So that's the big thing that's going on with us right now.
Did you, pursuant to our last meeting's conversation, do anything with the...
Liquor license?
Yes.
No, we didn't have it on last month's agenda because, well, we started the season. So we will be at our next meeting, which is, what are we in May now?
Yeah.
First week in June.
You will be addressing it?
Yes.
Okay.
I got a question. I'm not, the duplex, is that on the west side, east side?
East side.
East side?
Yeah.
So that we could open that up for parking, obviously?
Well, or expansion. Well, Bernie maybe could tell you.
I guess I'm just trying to get, same with the attorney's office. I mean, obviously, we're compressed here, and I'm all for looking in the future, especially if you can buy at a value.
Yeah, there's a number of ideas, I guess, floating around for Brookside. This property is just adjacent to that building. And one thing that people notice that go there on Mother's Day or holidays or things like that, the parking is a problem for the public at Brookside right now. It's a beautiful look. You know, it's kind of curvy and, you know, it looks very nice, but there's just not enough spaces there. And I think that's one thing they're thinking about for this property. The other thing is, if you ever want to do want to expand, there are only two properties left, I believe. That's this lot and the lot next to it. There's another nursing home down the hill, and they have already bought up two of the other houses and expanded that way. They had to cut into the hill, and they're like this now. But They have, they're surrounded by two buyers. She came to us, and I don't want to say too much tonight in open session, but that was a big advantage that that family came to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very, it just so happens that two of these golden opportunities came up at the same time. And both of them, I think, we tried to get previously and didn't work out for the county. I think for the one next to Brookside, we tried two times in the past, didn't work out. That's about all I want to say about that.
The other big thing about the Brookside one is that the director of Brookside has agreed that is in favor of it, and it'll be the money will be coming from their
surplus.
So it's not like we're going to be levied out.
Like Bernie was saying, on Mother Day, Mother's Day, and other holidays, I drove by there, and then the whole grass area there was full of cars. I mean, because they couldn't accommodate all the people that were visiting Brookside on Mother's Day. And speaking on the Supervisor Elverum, what he mentioned about this particular project that's coming up with the waterproofing, we would be going into the property next door for sure. So perfect tie-in, as you mentioned. Ideal.
Right.
And a great acquisition to the county, I think. I think it's all kudos to everything falling in place with our people that we have there. And good job.
It's all Bernie just because he talks to people.
Well, keep and, talking. Keep talking.
And Bernie. Buying at a value. I mean,
yeah,
right?
Big time.
Yeah, I'm not.
Thank you.
I personally am not in favor of buying to own, but I don't think that's what we're. I think we, as a county, have enough buildings to own. But what we need is a little bit more space and flexibility and buying at the right price. I mean, so that's why I will be in favor of these.
Well,
not just to buy, it's to buy because we have to look at the future in certain areas.
When we bring you these numbers on this project and the waterproofing and things, then everyone will understand that we are buying to save a couple hundred thousand dollars. So it's a really, really slick move.
Tie in with the roadway that's going to be changed around out here too.
Yeah.
Supervisor Dodge.
And then another thing, I don't say this because it was in closed session.
Well, then it's
where
closed.
They contacted you, so what? We don't have to go.
What?
Closed.
What?
Closed.
Okay, never mind.
Closed.
Okay, moving on. Supervisor Bruce.
Youth and Governance. Just want to thank Emily. This is her last night.
Thank you.
Participating in the Youth and Governance program. I hope that you get something out of this.
Thanks for having me. It was awesome being here. I think I learned something.
You're going to go on to politics now, right?
Well,
I hope you learned how to get along.
Yeah, you guys do well.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, you are.
I'll see if I can take what I learned and apply it after I get out of school.
Good. So next month we will have two new youth sitting on the committee. I will let you know later who those are. Country Thunder is coming up. That should be a lot of fun. Our two new youth for PDAC committee will get to actually tour the site out at Shadow Hill at their very first meeting, so that should be interesting. They are, again, running late with their requests. As Dan knows, it will be us passing their CUP and calling down to their committee to make sure that they can get their activity control license that same night. Another one that's going to happen the same way is We'll Rock the Ranch, which is done every year. August 24th out there, we finally got the notice. I was on the phone with the people last night from WIIL and chewing them out because they're waiting till the last minute. They've already sold tickets. They're advertising for this, but they haven't even filed.
They have one day deal, yeah. Easter Consultant.
What's the ski hills? What's that one called? That's
that Warrior Dash or whatever.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was in July.
And they're doing that at the ski hills this year.
Yes.
Arizona, no, Country Thunder.
No.
So
well, same people.
You know, Will Rock the Ranch will be the same thing with Judiciary
Law. They're the same company that does Will Rock the Ranch. And
no.
Well, that's that's a radio
WIIL
station.
WIIL is using Next Media, which is in conjunction with WIIL.
No,
so it's all local.
Yeah. Right on.
But They haven't even filed any of the paperwork yet.
So if we'd say no to them after they sold all these tickets, then what?
They'd be sending out refunds.
That's
yeah.
what I think.
Yeah. So,
if they know the date ahead of time, yeah, well, every year
well,
at the same time.
It's a good one.
You don't know. I start in January. I start calling these people to say, get your
paperwork. Well, it should be on you to do it.
I know,
I'm saying. They should be calling you in January.
But I need to get their paperwork in so it doesn't come down to like this. Because we literally have to stop our meeting and call Dan to let him know that.
At least they're consistent.
They've never
exactly.
They've never been on time.
They've never been.
Never.
2 years ago, they were on time.
No.
Well, one time out of the many years, aren't they?
I know. It's crazy. Go ahead.
Judiciary Law Committee was Wednesday. Coming to finance is going to be a redistribution of funds. There, I don't know exactly what it's called, but they're. A computer server that serves the laptops for the West End squads just died. They don't know if it was a lightning strike or this, that, and the other, but it's 20 years old. And so they have radio contact, but no, I think it's called Campo.
Can't telecommunicate.
Yeah,
using
correct.
The computer.
So the West End squads have nothing. Twin Lakes.
Gotta have
and
that.
The Sheriff's
gotta
Department.
Have gotta have that.
So, what they're going to do is the, I don't know what you want to call it, the rotating wheel they were going to put in at KCDC to organize all the intake stuff that comes in. You know, it was like what would I say?
Conveyor belt.
Conveyor, yeah. They're going to put that off and use those dollars for this. So I'm just making you aware that that's coming. And they haven't had communication out there for, I think, nearly 60 days now, almost 30 to 60 days. So.
That's not good.
Only radio transmission, that's it. They cannot use any laptop, so on and so forth.
Good. Smoke signals or two
So, yeah, I mean, again, I guess Chief Deputy said these things just go. I mean, it's 20 years old, obviously. They said that obviously IT said there might be a lightning strike issue with it. I mean, and I made the count. Well, I hope we upgrade this stuff that you get some type of surge protection on this stuff, I guess, you know, so on and so forth. But so that's coming towards tomorrow, right? Or next week, Terry?
Thursday.
Thursday.
So just wanted to make any question.
Supervisor Hallman.
How is that 60 days, you said?
I'm believing it's been 60 days already, yeah.
How does that happen? That's an awful long time.
Yeah, that was the question, but they had to go through the proper channels to reallocate the funds.
So, and it took 3 months?
60 days is 2 months.
2 months.
That's still a long time to be.
Yeah.
It, way too long.
That pops in my head. I know it's over 30, but I'm almost positive it's 60.
Oh, no.
I'll get back to you on the hard number.
You wouldn't survive a day without your computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 60 days.
Yeah, my God.
So it is.
Take
it is
that away for 60 days.
You know, it is an issue of obviously public safety. Officer safety. And Twin Lakes is on that band. Wheaton, Constable. I don't think so. Silver Lake Bag, not Pleasant Prairie.
My biggest.
Not, but the whole West End is.
I get the floor.
So anything past the I West,
yeah.
There's no communication.
Oh, that's nice.
Well,
no. Radio. But
I feel so safe now.
Supervisor.
The biggest question I have is things, you know, after the first day should be addressed 60 days out. I'm speechless.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm speechless on it, to be honest. I'm in public safety, I use the computer system. I know my police officers use this computer system. I know. It's just unconscionable. I don't get the idea of 60 days.
Now, that's not a hard number, but I think it's...
Well, a day is one thing. 30 days is a month. That's long. 60 days, whatever it is,
yeah.
I think over a day, public safety, officer safety,
well,
all has something to do with it.
And that concern was expressed from the committee.
I'm glad it was, but it's expressed from me on this committee hearing it now by your report.
Where are you?
But thank you for that.
I'm always here to help.
Well, I know you are.
Settle down, you two. All right, seeing no... Oh, Supervisor Alden.
One thing for Human Services. Folks were extraordinarily grateful that we did pass the treatment and conversions resolution. I had a couple conversations with some people. There's some clarity about a good direction to move in. Our judges have made it well known that we have difficulty hiring people with records in this community. I know that I think that actually came up one time in this committee when we had Todd Battle visiting us. The reason why it is a Human Services issue is the money from the state for transitional jobs. So basically paying employers for 6 months, 8 months, what have you, to hire folks with records, and then with the eventual hope they will take them on as the workforce and say, hey, this person works out really well, we can pass the felony issue with the state. As opposed to cracking down on them for job discrimination. So it's something to keep in mind, something to look at as a direction for us to move in the near future, very near future. Sort of akin to that, Milwaukee County has had a lot of success around this. They said that the state's budget for transitional jobs, they've relied on a lot of this stuff, has actually been cut. I raised that because I think in some ways, with some of the things that we do, we have to think urban. With some of the things that we do, we have to think rural and find out where some of our strengths can lie and make partnerships with some of our other counties. So that's just sort of the heads up.
A question. So Kenosha County, we don't have anything now.
That I would have to look into, but if we do, we certainly have to find ways where we can strengthen it and make it more successful.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've always been very liberal that way. I've never, you know, never been afraid to hire people. I've got two now with records that are working for me. And if there was something that I could get, you know, to help with that, that would be very nice. But it is troublesome. It causes you a problem, you know. If they get picked up for a parole violation, no matter how menial it is, and they have to miss work and things. I've done that for years, where I give people a chance, you know. But sometimes it bites you. It bites you hard. You know, if they miss 3 days when you're busy.
Your truck's gone.
No, never that. Mm-hmm. These are
it's
pretty honest people.
Yeah. So I appreciate you doing that. It's big of you to do that.
But I mean, I did have a guy miss 3 days. And you would like to talk to his parole officer, because the guy did nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, and here's a guy trying to dig his way out. Hasn't had a good job, mm-hmm. ever. He's got a decent job. I'm giving him hours. And he missed 3 days, you know, for nothing. Mm. Because the state and the parole officer had this rule. Well, he had to be on this hold. You know, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
And I understand it, but I don't understand how you're helping that guy. You know.
True.
We got a quick question. Is there statistics on this whole thing? I mean, as far as they're doing this in Milwaukee and so on and so forth. I mean, I know there's certain county board supervisors that are big on statistics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think it's...
You mean success rates in terms
correct.
Of employment?
Correct. So on and so forth, yeah.
That may be out there.
I was just curious. I mean, I know personally in my committee, I stated to all the officers, if they're coming to grants... And we've never done this, I want to see these statistics on how this grant is working before they even come to my committee from now on. Because, you know, again, there's supervisors that have concerns about that, you know.
And I hear that, but, you know, at the same time, I think with some things, when they're relatively new,
mm-hmm.
and there isn't necessarily statistics available, we can't be afraid to be a guinea pig. We can't be afraid to be the ones to perfect something that may not already be as polished as it should be.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you.
Seeing no more hands for any updates, we have no other business.
Motion to adjourn.
It's been moved second. To adjourn. Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
We are
no, thanks for doing that. That's good.
Well, like you say, majority of people are good people.
Yeah.
Just need a second chance.
Sure.
Not too many people do that.
And they appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.